kind of excited today because today I get to talk about sin. I often hear that priests don't preach about sin enough, so I'm going to talk about sin today. And not just regular sin, but deadly sin. Seven deadly sins, to be exact. They're also called the seven capital sins or the seven cardinal sins. Just like we have four cardinal virtues, we have seven cardinal sins. Why do they call them that? It's because any one of them, if you let them drive your bus long enough, you're not be going to heaven for that. Today we heard in the gospel a story. It starts just as a parable, but I want to put it in context a little bit so we understand where it sat. This parable came from Jesus right after the story of the rich man. If you remember, the rich man who came and said, "What do I need to go to heaven?" And Jesus said, "Follow the commandments." And he said, "I've done that." And the rich man says, "What else?" And Jesus says, "Give everything you have to the poor and follow me." And the rich man walked away. After that, then Peter, we know Peter, we've heard from him in the last couple of weeks. He says, "Jesus, we've given everything we've had. What are we going to get?" And it's right in that context that Jesus tells this parable. And he says, "Peter, don't worry, you'll get what you want. But just remember out there that many shall come before you. Then the first shall be last." And this is actually the second time he says it in the short context of time. The other thing that he talks about and why Jesus chooses the seven deadly sins, or one of the seven deadly sins, is because of what's going on in the Mediterranean, what's Jesus' world is like. So kids, are you ready? Let's talk about what the seven deadly sins are. Greed, gluttony, lust, anger, pride, sloth, laziness, and what Jesus is talking about today, and my favorite too, that sin of constant comparison, envy. And that's why Jesus is talking about envy today. Not only because of what Peter said and those other apostles were, if we've given everything away, are we going to get more? Are we going to be first in line? But also because in Jesus' time, unlike our time in America, in Jesus' time, the culture was that there wasn't enough to go around. And so that if you had something, it meant I didn't have it. We in America, until this pandemic hit, kind of felt like there's enough for everybody to go around. We go to store and get anything we want. We could go to buffets and eat anything we want. And we had a culture sort of, well, there's always more out there. So if you saw something that somebody had, you would just say, I'm going to go get that. That looks like something good. In the Mediterranean, in Jesus' time, in a Mediterranean culture, they felt like if you had it, that means I couldn't have it. So envy became a much more powerful sin at Jesus' time. We saw a little bit of that culture in the pandemic when you couldn't get paper products. I want mine. Not only want mine, I want somebody else's too. We saw what that culture produces. And sometimes the fear and the anger that produces. And in Jesus' time, envy was a powerful sin. Because in Jesus' time, when people were envious of other people, they didn't just want something similar. They wanted what that person had. So if I wanted a vineyard, because I saw you had a nice vineyard with grapes, I not only wanted my own vineyard, I wanted yours. Which meant that I hope something happened to you so I can claim that. So Jesus was attacking that culture and trying to get them to understand, along with the apostles, what the kingdom of God was like. Because it's nothing like that. The kingdom of God is not like Jesus has only a certain amount of openings and you're going to have to fit in. Or if you get in line first, you'll get in first. Jesus was telling us that it takes a conversion of heart to get into the kingdom of God. Not amount of things that you've done, not amount of things that you might have had, but the conversion of heart. So Jesus in this parable tells us it doesn't matter if you're 14 years old or 49 years old or 94 years old. Whenever your heart gets converted, you've come into the kingdom of God from what you're doing. So let's get back to the seven deadly sins a little bit. Because I like Jesus talks about envy. And why I like he talks about envy, it's one of the few, I think it's the only one of the seven deadly sins that's actually addressed in the Ten Commandments, where it says you shall not covet your neighbor's stuff, their spouse, their goods, things like that. All the other deadly sins, they're deadly, but they don't really come up in the commandments that much. So envy seems to be a powerful thing that God was really talking to worry about. Don't compare ourselves to others. What about the other ones? I'm convinced of the following things. I think every one of us, by our own personality, is saddled with one of these seven deadly sins. Some of us find ourselves, when we're stressed out, we go, we sit, and we veg out in front of the TV and binge watch a whole series of shows for 8 hours straight. Or we get on the internet for some good reason, and before we know it, we're looking at the seven ugliest fish in the world, or we're looking at what happened to the Brady Bunch kids now that they're 60. And before we know it, 2 hours have gone by and we're on the internet looking up junk. That's sloth. That's laziness. Some of us are saddled with that. We have to constantly fight that. Some of us are saddled with anger. My mom is kind of like that. Some of us have kind of a short fuse and we're just made that way. My mother cannot stand men that wear their baseball hats inside restaurants. So every time if we go anywhere, she'll say, look at that man. He's got a baseball hat on. I go, yeah. She also doesn't like women that drink beer out of bottles too, so. But things that don't bother me and my sister at all. My mother's like, I just can't stand that. Some of us are saddled with pride or vanity. We won't go out unless we look good. And we really get upset if someone unexpectedly calls and we're not dressed properly. Or every mirror we go by, we go, oh. Some of us are saddled with that. Envy is my favorite sin because that's what I grew up with through my whole life. As I've told you before, I have an older brother. I was envious of him. I shared a room with him. And I was very envious because he was the older one. He got everything I thought. And I always got second string on everything that we did. The seven deadly sins that we each have one, I feel, that we're saddled with. And the second thing I want to point out, you can't get rid of them. You can tame them, but you never can get rid of them. So if you go to confession and say, I've got pride, Father, I want to get rid of my pride, I would probably say, good luck. Because we're going to have that deadly sin haunting us our whole lives. So when we talk about remission of sin, we talk about it like remission of cancer. It's gone, but it could always come back. So that's the second thing I want you to know about. When you are saddled with one of those deadly sins, that's kind of your cross to bear. And you have a choice to make. And this is the choice that God wants you to make and Jesus wants you to make. He wants you to change your hearts so that that sin that was driving your bus and causing you to spend 8 hours watching TV, change your hearts so that you can actually use that sin to your advantage. I was envious of my brother. So I said to myself, instead of just getting mad at him and trying to beat him up all the time, I said to him, I'm going to be as good as my brother. I'm going to be better than my brother. So he did well in school, so I decided I'm going to start doing well in school. He went to Northwestern College. I said, I'm going to go to Northwestern. He wanted to be a doctor. I said, I'm going to be a better doctor than him. I went to medical school. I used that energy from being envious to admiration to then motivation. And that's what the deadly sins can do when you open and change your hearts. You can actually use them to your advantage. So if you're an angry person, you can use that and use it righteously to get angry about the right things in your life that motivate you to action. You can use your pride to take care of yourself in a positive way, but not let it drive your bus. That's all you care about. So Jesus is telling us, by the last could be first, is that we can take those sins, deadly sins, that can ruin our lives and make them work for us in a positive way. Me, it was envy and that comparison. And I still have that problem today. I'll look at somebody, and my mind just immediately goes, well, what do I have that they don't have? What do I look like that they don't look like? How can I be better than them? And yet I can let that be tamed by that. How do we tame those sins? How do we open our hearts? How do we convert our hearts? It's by living the law of love. You heard it, the law of love. Love God and love your neighbor. If you're saddled with one of these deadly sins and you find it driving your bus, in the instance, just taking control, go back to loving God and loving your neighbor. And when you do that, you'll be able to tell that sin, go back and sit in the back seat where you belong. You're never going to get rid of it. It's always going to be there. It's going to be your friend, so you might as well get friendly with it. But it doesn't have to drive your bus. Because when you live the law of love, and love God and love your neighbor, and everything that you do, and you've converted your heart, it's still there, but it doesn't run your life. And you can actually use the energy of that deadly sin to make something virtuous out of it and make your life better. I think that's what Jesus is telling us in a parable like this. Convert your hearts, no matter where you are in your life right today, no matter what your life has been like today, convert your hearts. And then the law of love becomes how you live your life. And then you become a beacon of light to others. Think about what deadly sin that's been sort of saddled in your life. Think about which one of those seven are the ones that you work with the most, or one that you have most friends with. Think about how it has, when you've used that sin in a positive way, how it's helped your life, how it's made you become a better person. And when has it taken over? When has it grabbed the wheel of your car and started driving and been in charge? And what will it take to fully convert your heart so that even a sin that's considered deadly becomes life-giving to you? God bless you all.